It's now time for the Satellite Guys podcast. Featuring all the latest news, talk, and rumors from the world of satellite. Plus all the latest headlines from the world of home theater technologies. And now, here is your host, Goalie Bob Nemitz.
Hey, Satellite Guys. Welcome to another exciting edition of the SatelliteGuys.us podcast. You know, Scott, I hear if you want the new version of the iPhone software, you have to pay $99 for that good old development kit.
Oh, yeah. That's because the official release is not until summertime. They're expecting around June. But if you really want to have it now and want to play with the beta on your phone for $99, you can join the Apple iPhone developers group there, and it's $99 will get you that beta software where you can load it on your iPhone and be running the new 3.0 software, which adds a bunch of long-awaited items for the iPhone. You know, my wife's little $9 Motorola Razr phone she got did a lot of these things that the iPhone could not do until now, such things as MMS for the pictures, other things such as cut and paste, you know, all those kind of things there. Another big one being the stereo Bluetooth, all coming to the iPhone on a new 3.0 release. Again, that's expected sometime in June, but if you want to pay the $99, it's available at apple.com/developer.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I'm kind of wondering what other software, like I heard rumors that tethering might be coming down the line, as well as other software. And, you know, I wonder how this is going to hurt with the iPhone community that that's kind of the underground community with the jailbreaking of the iPhone.
I don't know. It's interesting. And they did announce tethering as well. But that is up to your provider of your service, whether you can use that feature or not. So whether we'll see that here in the United States or not from AT&T is remain to be answered. And if we do see it from AT&T, how much extra they're going to charge you to enable that feature. As far as jailbreaking goes, there's not really a lot of reasons to jailbreak, you know, your iPhone. There's a couple applications out there that are sort of must-haves, such as Winterboard, which allows you to skin your iPhone and make it look like however you want it to look like. But other than that, I don't know. Maybe jailbreaking could be a thing of the past, but there's always something to look forward to from the jailbreaks because they always seem to be one step ahead of what Apple can provide to their customers.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Scott, because I know I jailbroke my iPhone for the quick feature, which allows you to turn your iPhone into a video camera and essentially broadcast live from the internet anywhere you are. And that's really one of the better features I wish Apple would release to the iPhone software that's legal.
Yeah, that's hopefully we'll see that coming down the line here, especially with this new developer's kit, which has 1,000 new APIs and really lets you control the iPhone better. One of the things that annoyed me is if you had an early version of the iPhone and you jailbroke it, you had what's called Tap Tap Revenge, which is a game now available in the iPhone store. But the jailbroke version was so much better because what it did was it used your own iTunes library. So instead of being stuck to a couple songs that came with the program itself, any one of your songs could have been used in the Tap Tap Revenge program, and it was really fun to play when you knew the music. And now with the new software developers kit, Apple's finally allowing people to use their libraries, their music libraries, in the applications that they design.
Yeah, it seems that Apple's hearing the customer and all these customers that are jailbreaking their iPhone. They're kind of realizing that the reason why they are jailbreaking is for the software and not to do anything illegal with their phone. So it's good news, and hopefully Uncle Charlie over there can do the same thing with his customers as Apple is doing.
Well, yeah, and let's get into the Charlie chat a little bit. First thing up, and you're going to hear this first on Satellite Guys, Charlie Ergen made a comment about MLB TV, Major League Baseball Network, and he said that with a VIP receiver, you'll be able to watch the internet version of Major League Baseball Extra Innings Package on your VIP receiver. Now, I went to Dish Network and got clarification on that. And for those people with a 722 or 622, unfortunately, it's not going to come to your receivers. But in the 922, one of the things they're looking at doing is actually implementing a on-screen button so you can click on Major League Baseball and be taken to the Major League Baseball website and watch their high-definition content on your 922 when that comes out.
Wow, that's a really exciting feature, and that kind of does supplement MLB Extra Innings, which is not currently on Dish Network. I wonder if Dish Network and MLB are kind of in side talks to maybe sort of come to a new agreement for MLB Extra Innings for next year.
No, I don't see anything happening there. In fact, Charlie's a forward thinker when it comes to this technology stuff, and a lot of the stuff that people have been really wanting for a while now, Charlie doesn't need to carry it because they people can get it via the internet. And with a 922, you're going to be melding the two together, your satellite television service and internet. So anything that's really available on the internet, you'll be able to watch on your 922 on your high-definition TV, and it's going to look pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Scott. And I'm really going to be interested to see how this will works very well with the receiver and how well that it's going to work as far as the content providers, whether if they realize that you have a 922 and they're going to try blocking their content from that receiver or allowing it through specifically for the 922.
I don't think the content providers can really do anything about it because really it's just a web browser. And if they're going to start segmenting things like that, then you've got all kinds of other legal issues going on there, which are beyond, you know, just dealing with Dish Network.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Scott. And it, to me, it's just kind of weird because, you know, right now MLB and EchoStar kind of do have their thing where they don't have that contract going, and that's something that I could see the MLB trying to do, trying to keep EchoStar subscribers from viewing their content.
Well, and the other way to look at it is it's bringing a new revenue stream into Major League Baseball. People who could not get Major League Baseball because they had Dish Network, and now they're free to order it online and enjoy it on their satellite receivers.
So, speaking of new content launched, Scott, how's the new high-definition content that Dish Network launched?
So far it sucks, is the honest opinion of it. You've had your Showtimes and the movie channels and BETJ. And so far, the BETJ channel is a gigantic disappointment. For those people who've had digital cable or satellite for a while, may remember BET Jazz. And all BET Jazz was music, 24 hours a day. Highly focused on jazz, but they had other formats of music. And this new BET Jazz HD, first of all, it doesn't have any HD on it. And second of all, it has no jazz and really no real music content that I've seen.
Yeah, I was really surprised with BET Jazz because that used to be a digital cable exclusive, and now Dish Network has it. So I was kind of excited to see it, but being the fact that there's no high definition content on it, is it really worth the high-definition channel?
Yeah, and hearing Charlie say on the Charlie chat that it was a widely requested channel, I really would like some of what he's smoking at times because he definitely... I don't see that one being a highly requested channel. The big ones we see on satellite guys still are Speed Network and FX, and no real word on when those are coming. Charlie did say on the Charlie chat that their contracts are coming due this summer, but that's no guarantee we're going to be seeing stuff. Also on the Charlie chat was announced that we're going to be seeing the Viacom channels. Those channels include Comedy Central, MTV, VH1, CMT. Spike TV, I believe it's at Comedy Central already, but even while Charlie is carrying those channels, and we'll have those by April 1st, you know, some people are very upset that Charlie's not carrying the other Viacom channels, which are missing, which are available on other providers, including DirecTV, such as Logo. And then you have other channels from Viacom, which make absolutely no sense, because this is the only one to carry them, and the way they carry them, that'd be the Noggin channel, which is Dish Network's the only provider in the United States to carry Noggin and have it time shifted so that at 6 p.m. it turns into the N instead of having them as two separate channels on their own. And also Dish Network's the only one to be running Nick Gas, Nick Games and Sports, when that channel does not exist anymore. So people are really wondering what's going on there, and people at Dish are not saying anything.
Yeah, that's really weird. Ever since they had their little brouhaha with Viacom way back when, things have never been the same between Viacom and Dish as far as programming-wise.
Yeah, it's just weird. And this really needs to go back to the basics. Get people what they want on their television. That's the entire reason many of us chose satellite instead of sticking with the cable TV, because cable TV wouldn't give us the channels we want. And, you know, Dish has given us some of the channels we want, but what's this time-shifted crap and time-sharing where you only have the channel for half the day? That's not what people subscribe to satellite for. They want their programming, they want to pay for it, and they want to enjoy it. Why can't Dish figure this out and start listening to their customers?
Well, Dish did do something right this week. They did launch a new interactive feature where you can buy movie tickets through your receiver.
Yeah, for the interactive receivers, you can order tickets through Fandango, and there's a surcharge on the tickets, so you're not paying the ticket prices that the movie theater charges. I think there's I think it's a $3 surcharge per ticket from Fandango, and it's a really odd combination for Dish, who's been, you know, trying to push people into watching pay-per-view, now telling people that they should get out and go see a movie. I guess, you know, the money must be good for them from Fandango there to be offering this service, but to me it didn't really make sense.
Yeah, I could see this only working in Dish's favor if they were trying to provide like a whole house solution DVR to where you can virtually surf the internet on the DVR, and the only thing close that I've seen for that right now would be the 922.
Yeah, and that Fandango service is personally useless to me. I'm one of the many who have dumped their home phone lines and are now connected through the internet with their boxes, and that application does not work if you're only connected via broadband. You have to have a dial tone for that to work.
Right. Well, speaking of dial tone and changes coming up, I understand Sci-Fi is changing its name.
Yeah, Sci-Fi is changing its name to Sci-Fi. It sounds the same, but a different spelling. The old way is S-C-I-F-I. And a new way, which will be taking effect in June, is SYFY. Now, the reason for the name change is because Sci-Fi has a bunch of products and programming and stuff, and they haven't been able to trademark the Sci-Fi name. The old SCIFI name is not trademarkable because it's just a standard, you know, abbreviation for science fiction, and everybody uses it. So by using this new SYFY, they are now able to, you know, trademark their name and begin offering products for sale, such as DVDs and things like that, and brand it as Sci-Fi, and don't have to worry about people ripping them off or offering a product that says Sci-Fi spelled the old way and not being from the actual Sci-Fi network itself.
Yeah, that's kind of weird how they spelt that, but in a way it looks pretty futuristic, like an alien is going to come and get me, and spelt Sci-Fi, S-Y-F-Y.
Take a look at sci-fi.com, which is S-Y-F-I.com, and it looks like the logo looks like someone from Better Homes and Gardens decorated it, which has a lot of sci-fi fans who love science fiction very nervous about the future of what Sci-Fi Channel is all about.
Yeah, I could see that, because right now, currently, the Sci-Fi is a great channel. It has a great mix of programming. My wife watches it all the time. It's like one of her favorite channels, and I don't know too many people who that channel is not on one of their favorites list.
Yeah, that's a decent channel. I know some people have been upset since NBC Universal took it over. They added a bunch of non-science programming. They added ECW Wrestling. For wrestling fans, they're happy about that, but for science fiction fans, they're saying, what the hell is this doing on a science fiction channel? And I can kind of see that point there, so some interesting things there. Speaking of some interesting things, I want to talk about something serious for a second, Bob, if I can.
Go ahead, Scott.
And that is regarding DirecTV, and I can't really go into too much detail here because we're working on some things behind the scene, but we may be asking for your help as Satellite Guys members in the near future here, because something's going on behind the scene that has the staff here at Satellite Guys very, very, very upset. And you, the members, are losing out big time. Right now we're trying to give DirecTV a chance to make good on some promises that they've you know, given us. But things are not looking as bright as they can be. And as I say, we may need some help from our Satellite Guys members in the near future here. Something we don't want to do, but we may have no other choice but to do it. We want the best DirecTV news and information for our members, and we're going to work damn hard to make sure we get it for them.
Yeah, exactly, Scott. You know, I'm just going to let it all shake out, and we'll see what happens, and hopefully DirecTV can do the best thing for not only our site, but both sites, and hopefully we can get the good word of the DirecTV product out there, so that way we can promote and hopefully make the DirecTV product as best as it can be.
Yeah, we had some good stuff going on there with them, and then some things changed over the past week, and I'm not too happy with them. Other staff members aren't too happy with it, and we need to see it change here. So again, we may be looking for your help in the future there, but we are working on things now. Hopefully we can get them resolved and improve our DirecTV information for you so that we're at least equal to other sites out there who are providing you DirecTV information as well. And that's all we're really looking to do, is give you the same amount of information at the same time. You know, we want to support all those DirecTV people out there. People don't realize that a site like Satellite Guys helps the satellite companies with not only the research and development of things like their CE program, but as far as customer support. When people have problems with their satellite service, the trained people now know not to call DirecTV or Dish Network. They know to go to Satellite Guys first and see if somebody else is having that issue. And because we're acting as an intermediate there, we're actually lowering their costs, so it's really beneficial to the satellite companies to work with us instead of against us or push us back. It's just really important there, and it's something that, again, we're working on and hopefully have a resolution soon for everybody.
Yep. Well, Scott, that's the music.
Yep. Well, it's been an exciting week there. The big bets are coming up now as when we're going to see the new Viacom channels. Could it be this week? Who knows? We'll talk about it next week, I'm sure.
All righty, until next week, we'll see you real soon.
See ya!
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Satellite Guys Podcast. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, you can post them online at satelliteguys.us. Or you can email us at podcast@satelliteguys.us. Also remember, you too can be a part of our next podcast by leaving us a message at 815-907-5558. That number again, 815-907-5558. Go ahead and leave us a message. You just might hear it on our next show. Today's podcast was made possible by DishStore.net. On behalf of the entire crew at Satellite Guys Podcast, we'll see you again real soon.